Let's give the Lord praise for that. Amen. You know the power of a testimony is that it's shared now and that it can actually become true in your life. Amen. That's actually what testimony means. Is that the fact that God did it in his life means that he can do it in your life. Do you believe that? Because sometimes we don't believe that. Amen. We actually don't. We hear a testimony, that's for him, or that's for her. But God wants to do it in our lives. Amen. And so it's so amazing how this morning I just want to share a few stories of my trip to London, because I got saved again. Amen. Like, I think pastors should get saved. Then the church would be healthy. Amen. Who's laughing there? Okay. It's Nigel. He understands. But I really had an encounter with the Lord, and it's amazing how you have to go to the UK and you think it's like the hardest place and people don't get saved there, but South Africans get saved in London, because I can say I got saved again in London. Amen. So God has stirred something in my heart, and I just felt for a long time I was just going through the motions, and I trust today that God will birth something in your heart, because I really want to agree with Gerda that God has got an appointment with you this morning, because I believe that we are sometimes just going through the motions as Christians, okay? Because I just realized, when I got back from London, or before I went to London, I just realized I'm just doing this Christian thing because, that's kind of the thing to do in South Africa. Like, we all sort of want this allemaal gered en gelovig, and that's the thing to do. Until you encounter the Spirit of God. Amen. And I've encountered the Spirit of God in my life, but I just realized that the devil has stolen so much from me, that the devil has been lying, and I've been just accepting the status quo. And I today want to trust that your faith would be stirred this morning. Amen. Because we accept the status quo many times. And if there's one thing the devil wants to get at in our lives, and that is our faith, our trust in God, and it's evident in our finances, it's evident in our relationships, it's evident all over our lives. Do we really trust God? Or do we have faith to believe God for the amazing stuff that he has for us? Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you, if I have to let you sit down this morning and ask, what is God saying to you? What would you say? And do you know what the Lord is saying? Do you know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you this morning? Because I realize, I could sit down and I wouldn't know what God is saying. I kind of know the Word and I know the Bible. What is God saying to me now? The other night I had my kids sit down, and we read Bible story to them, and we minister to them, and we see massive growth in our kids' lives. But I sat next to Matthew and Kate, and I said to them, just felt the Lord saying to me, this was now about a month or so ago, I just said, let's just be quiet now, because we can pray the religious prayer. We can pray prayers with them and, do the right thing with them, because that's the thing to do, the church thing to do. I just felt the Lord saying, now, let's just be quiet now and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because a kid's spirit is so open, amen. A child's spirit is so open. They don't know what a salvation is yet quite. They don't know being saved or not. They have concept of Jesus. But I believe God can speak to them. Whether they're saved or baptized or not, or spirit-filled, we can get religious around that as well. So I just sat them down and said, let's just be quiet and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us tonight. And I was like challenged, because now I've got to hear what God is saying to me. I can't let them say, oh no, I don't know what God is saying. But we waited for about a minute. It's amazing. When kids are quiet for a minute at 3 and 5 years old, that's like a miracle, okay? So they're like quiet, and it was probably about 2 minutes. Or no, I think it was about a minute. And then Matthew just wants to speak. So Caitlin can be quiet for long. Matthew, okay, what is God saying to us now? Let's open our eyes. So I said to Caitlin, I know, what is God saying to you? And guess what she said? Anyone know? God says he loves me. And that I love him. So I said, Matthew, what is God saying to you? He said, I must worship God. God said, I must worship him. Because he loves worship, he loves music. It was so amazing for me to hear that God wants to speak to us. God wants to speak to kids. God wants to speak to everyone. So God wants to speak to each one of us. I believe that the Lord is going to bring massive revival in this world. Do you believe that? Because I saw this in London. I saw glimpses of what God wants to do. We were at a conference and there were lots of nations represented, 44 different nations. It wasn't massive. There were probably 1,000 people, so it wasn't like hundreds of thousands of people, but it was enough to experience God's heart for different types of people. Different ways of doing church, different ways of, but But there was an anointing on the ministry. There was a massive anointing on the ministry. So I experienced that God wants to bring revival. God wants to revive us as the church first, and then he wants to bring revival, or what I call reformation, where it's coming back to the purpose it was designed for. For us as people, we need to come back to the purpose that we were designed for. Amen. And as believers, sometimes we need to come back to what we were designed for. Unbelievers just need to come back to Christ. But as believers, we need reformation. We need revival in our own hearts for us to come back to what we were designed for. The devil steals us. He steals our faith. He steals our joy. He steals so much of our lives, and we are just happy with it. And so my first experience with the Lord was at and I'll ask Peter just to put up the picture. This was before the conference now. I was at this is John Wesley's monument. Well, it's not a statue of him, but it's a testimony of his salvation, where John Wesley, one of the great revivalists, got saved, right there near to where that thing is. It's there near the London Museum, and it's got a page. That thing's now, if I have to ask you, what does that look like, what would you say? What would you say? Because the guy who took us on this tour, he asked us, now, what does that look like? So we were like, we don't know. So what would you guys say? What does that look like? That, not the handsome guy on the left there, but you know, that steel thing. It's a massive metal thing. Anyone have any clues? Yes, Talita? That God wrote? Okay, that's a tablet like that. Yeah, that's cool. Anyone else got a guess? It's not a very well-depicted thing, okay. So I guess you guys aren't going to get the right answer. Anyone got any other clues? Because this is where the Lord just spoke to me. It's in the form of a flame, okay. It's supposed to be a flame. It's like got curves like that, and it's got John Wesley's diary of the day that he got saved. And I just want to read what it said at the end, not the whole thing, but at the end it says, "In the evening I went very unwillingly to a society, which in those days was called the church, or it's now called the church, that was in Aldersgate Street, which is right there where we were, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About 8:45 in the evening, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." I love the part where it says, "I felt my heart strangely warm by the presence of God, hearing his word, being in his presence, being in a church where there was lots of prayer. In fact, prayer went throughout this was in 1738 that he got saved, him and his brother. There was massive prayer going on, 24/7 prayer, for revival to take place, and these guys were products of that prayer, birthing God's purposes. And we know the rest of the story. If you know church history, Wesley had one of the greatest revivals of all time. And England was actually called by God to bring revival to the nations. And it happened, and it's sad going back, and the guy that took us to the tour, he said, "We must really pray, because, you know, Britain and the UK is supposed to be the front runners when it comes to the gospel. In fact, they brought the gospel to Africa." Do you know what the great news is? That Africa can take the gospel back to the West and back to Europe. But I experienced at the conference that God is doing amazing stuff. And I heard testimonies of, there were speakers from England, you know, from churches in England. God is doing stuff there. There's people getting saved. There's people getting saved in Ireland, in Scotland. Even people getting saved in Germany. Amen. Really, a guy was saying there's revival in the youth. The youth are coming to these meetings where there's like Holy Spirit revival, or just the Holy Spirit meetings or whatever, and the youth in their thousands are getting saved and hungry for the Lord. One guy talked, he was an Argentinian guy, he just talked about revival down there in South America. There was a guy from Singapore. There was even guys from America there, because they're always there. I mean, they're all over conferences. But it was just amazing to be in the place where God is saying he's bringing revival, he's bringing change. And I believe there's a change going to happen in our church. I can sense there's a hunger and a thirst for God in this place. There's a hunger and a thirst for God all over. And God is doing it. It's exciting to be a Christian in the life that we live. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want this. I want revival. I want to see God do amazing things. I don't just want to play church. But you see, it's not going to be automatic. It's not going to, we're not each going to just have revival. It's going to be a place where we position ourselves. If you look at Wesley's testimony, he positioned himself where? In a church. He positioned himself under the Word of God, positioned himself where he was surrounded by people that were praying for him and for many others. And so I want to talk this morning just about Acts chapter 2. I want to just mention a few things that I trust will inspire you this morning to go for what God has for your life right now. To go in faith and to live in faith, because our faith is challenged. Amen. Our faith is always going to be targeted by the devil. And this morning I want to talk about Acts chapter 2. So I want us just to stand this morning as we read Acts chapter 2 together from verse 1 to 4. Let's stand. I'm delivered from PowerPoint. Okay, I don't have PowerPoint anymore, so praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Read from the pure Word of God. Okay. So bring your, if you haven't got a Bible yet, please just sit next to a Christian. Okay. Sit next to a believer. Only joking. Okay. But let's pray. Let's just read the Word as we stand this morning. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, this morning we thank you for your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you that by your word, Lord, there's life. In your word is life. In your word is truth. I want to thank you today that you want to birth in us, Lord, a new passion, a new desire for the things that you have for us. The word of God, Lord, for prayer. Lord, to have our faith stirred this morning, Lord. That we can leave this place, Lord, excited for you, God. On fire for you, God. I pray for your fire this morning, God. Pray for your passion to be stirred in our hearts, that we can be like John Wesley and know that our heart is strangely warmed when we have an encounter with the living God. We trust you for that this morning, Jesus. We trust you that you would speak, and thank you for ears to be open to hear and hearts to be softened to receive, Lord, what you have for each one of us today. I thank you, Lord, that we declare that our ears are open and our eyes are open to see how you are moving. In Jesus' name, amen. May take your seats. I just loved what Melissa made us do this morning. The fact that we pray together, because you know it's signs that we are starting to hunger and thirst more for God. Amen. More to pray together than to talk together. More to pray about stuff than to sit around meeting tables. Amen. Because I've got this desire in my heart that I said to God, God, whenever I pray, God, I want stuff to happen. I don't want to pray religious prayers anymore. Amen. I want to pray in faith. I want to believe that when I pray, God, you move. Amen. So I want to pray for lots more people, you see, because I believe we talked and we try to do church so organizationally, and I'm good at that. I know I'm good at organizing but I haven't called to be an organizer or to be a manager. I've called to see the kingdom of God come. Amen. All of us as Christians, doesn't matter what our gift is, we've been called to live kingdom, purposeful lives, where we see the kingdom of God come wherever we go. Amen. And so let's see what happened in the first church, because I believe we need to go back to the first church and see how did revival really start. God spent time with a few of his disciples, and I believe Jesus is spending time with some of you. Okay, I really believe you guys know Jesus. Some of you maybe don't, but trust that you guys know Jesus, and you're his disciples. You're spending time with him. But then what happened? He said to them, they must go and wait in the upper room. He's going away because he wants to do something in their lives. He wants them to just wait. And what were they waiting on? What were they doing when they were waiting? I believe they were doing something called praying. I believe they were worshiping the Lord. I believe they were fellowshipping. They were in one place, in one accord. So let's look at the first thing. The first thing that I want to say when it comes to revival and how revival happens is, let's look at this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So tell someone next to you, one accord in one place. Okay? One accord in one place. So I believe there was a very specific atmosphere that was in this group of believers. A very specific culture, a very specific environment in which revival could take place. Okay? Would you agree with that? There was an atmosphere. What was this atmosphere? Okay, three things. Before I get to the three things, I believe God is like a farmer, right? God prepares the ground. Okay, anyone farmers in this place? Okay, you know that you don't just sow seed. You don't just throw seed on the ground. Okay, you can try that, and some of it might grow, some of it won't grow. But if you're a good farmer, you prepare the atmosphere. You prepare the ground. In fact, you don't care what that place looks like. You change that atmosphere, and you make that thing ready for the seed to grow in that atmosphere or in that environment. Amen. And so there was a specific atmosphere. Jesus said, I need you to prepare the ground, to prepare the atmosphere. It's like a breeding ground. You know, you get good breeding ground and bad breeding ground. You know what a bad breeding ground is? If you leave meat to rot somewhere, you know, it's an excellent breeding ground for maggots. Eh? You just leave meat to frot out in the sun and you don't put it in the fridge. That's a fantastic breeding ground. You're just going to get maggots. Like, I don't know who likes maggots. So that's a bad breeding ground. But a good breeding ground would be where you prepare it properly, you understand what you want to do, you don't just leave it to happen, because an environment will take some kind of a culture, okay? It will take some kind of an atmosphere. It will default all to bad stuff unless we prepare the ground. We live in a fallen world. The world declines. The world is tending to chaos. So an atmosphere or an environment will be chaotic unless we prepare the ground, okay? This church will tend to chaos unless we prepare the ground, unless we say to God, God, you must come and work here. That's why prayer is so important, amen? That's why it's so crucial we pray for our services. We pray weekly. We pray in our personal lives that God can prepare the ground that He can work. And so the first thing I believe that this ground was prepared by was an environment of faith. They believed what Jesus said. When Jesus said, go and wait in the upper room or go and wait for me, they didn't think, you know, Jesus, it would probably be better if we, like, you know, let's start witnessing now, or let's start doing other stuff now. Let's each go our own way and we wait on you. They waited on him together, 120 of them. That's amazing unity. They must have had an encounter with Jesus to realize we must believe in what Jesus said. He said we must wait, and so we're going to wait. And it doesn't matter how long it takes, he said he's going to come visit us. He said he's going to come meet us again. So they waited. But they had faith. They believed what God said was going to come true, and so they waited. So that's the first thing I believe for us to have an atmosphere of revival where God wants to come and do a new thing. I believe we need to say, God, we are going to take your word for what it is. Amen. We're going to believe in your word again. We're going to believe that if the word says that signs and wonders will follow those who believe, then Lord, we believe that. And we want to start to do stuff and see you move. We want to start to go make disciples. If you say, Lord, make disciples of all nations, Lord, we want to do that. We want to start making disciples of all nations. Atmosphere of faith again. And I believe it comes from the Word of God. Who's Jesus in our lives today? He's the Word. He's this thing, the Bible, that's just fortunately come alive. It's not a book where black is written on white. It's a real book. It's Jesus Christ himself speaking to us. So I believe we need to come back to that place of faith again, where we start to believe for the impossible. We start to believe for miracles. We start to believe for God to move mightily in our lives. Who's excited for that? Okay. Second thing is we need to have an atmosphere of prayer. These guys, it said they were waiting on the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says they were together and they were praying. Prayers were made. In fact, I'll read the exact verse to you. It says in verse 40, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and everyone. Women and children, all of them were there in one accord, praying, waiting for Jesus to pour out his spirit upon them. Amen. So a place of prayer. We need to get back to prayer. Get excited again about prayer. Get excited about waiting upon the Lord. Get excited about seeking God with a hunger and a thirst. And not just saying the right things. Amen. So an atmosphere of prayer, an environment of prayer. And then lastly, there was unity. And, you know, unity isn't something like we're going to be together 24/7, all the we're going to, like, live in one house and be together. That's not what God wants for us. It happened to be for them. But for us, I just believe it's a fellowship. It's a love for one another. It's really a drawing together in relationship. Exactly what we did now, where we start to come together. And it doesn't matter if we know the people or not, but we love one another. And we stop judging one another and putting each other in boxes. And this is this personality and that personality. And I'll just get on with these people. And we all together with one accord. Amen. Because why? We love one God, one Son, and one Spirit. The unity of the faith. The Bible talks about it. The unity of faith. And so there was an atmosphere, an environment of unity, of fellowship, of love for one another. And that's why church is so awesome for me, because that's an opportunity for us to become one, to fellowship with each other. And that not one person walking in here will see I don't really belong here. People who walk in here will say, I want to be part of this unity because this is an environment where God is going to start moving. God wants to bring revival in our midst. He wants to send lots of people, but He wants to start with each one of us. Amen. So an atmosphere of unity. And when we were on Trafalgar Square, the one evening we did praise and worship, and we just lifted up the name of Jesus. And the one guy said before we started, he said, listen, yeah, I know this is going to be a bit funny, but you know, if unless the police come to fetch us, we are going to just carry on worshiping, okay? And the guys were like, no or not, you know, we won't stop. If the police come fetch us, we'll still carry on worshiping. But he said, look, I know it's open and it's people are going to probably look at us funny, but we're going to do this. We're going to worship the Lord. And so we worshiped God, and it was just so amazing how the people were drawn to God. People, there was Muslims there. There was like young people from other countries just coming to see, what is this? This is not a concert, because everyone's standing in a circle. There's a guy with a guitar and a djembe, and it looked weird. But there was life there. There was joy there. They could see this is not just a show. This is God. God's presence is in this place. And they just somehow want to be a part of it. We had opportunities to minister to people, and we thought, okay, God, if you draw people, that's fine. But we're going to worship you. It's going to be a testimony of what you do. An amazing story is that one guy came to a beggar off the street, came with a Bible, and he spoke to one of the leaders of the church there, and he said, you know what? God says that you're you're an eagle with a broken wing. But you know what? It's time that you're going to start to fly with the other eagles. And it was such a specific prophetic word for the church there, because the Shofar church there is struggling, and it's exactly true. It's got a broken wing. But the guy from the street, and he smelled like alcohol, and he was like, but he brought the word of the Lord and said, this is what God's saying. You're going to now fly again with the eagles. The season is changing. And it was like amazing. God speaking through a donkey if he has to. God speaking through whoever. But you see, where there's unity and where there's joy and where there's faith and where we start to believe and worship God again, then you know what? He starts to speak to us through whoever He chooses to speak through us. I want to say this morning, are we prepared to believe God? Are we prepared to believe Him that He can start to create in us an environment where He can do awesome stuff? And you know what? We're not going to be able to control it. That's the great thing about revival. We will never control it. God will start to add people and send people, and it's going to be amazing. And I just want to prophesy over this church, and I want to say again that Jesus is about to do something great. Amen. Jesus wants to do something great. But you know what? He's waiting for us to come back to Him again. He's waiting for our faith to be revived. And I know He's done it in my life, and I believe if He's done it in my life, He can do it in anyone's life. Second thing, in verse 2, are you guys awake this morning? Just shake somebody next to you and say, it's exciting to hear the word of the Lord. Amen? So number 2, what's the second thing? When it talks about revival and an atmosphere of revival, what's the second thing? What happened? Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Guess what happens when revival comes? You are going to know about it. Amen? There was a mighty rushing wind coming from heaven. You know, when heaven meets earth, you're going to know about it. Amen. When you have a visitation from Christ, you're not going to wonder if you're saved or not. You're going to know that you know that you know that God has come to meet you. Amen. And I believe that's the atmosphere that God moves in. He comes when the atmosphere is ready. There's an environment, and there's a visitation. And guess what? You know there's no confusion. What does it say here? It says that it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Right where they were, there was a visitation from heaven. Amen. And so I believe God wants to visit us like He visited those first disciples. I don't know how He's going to do it, if there's going to be a physical wind or a thing in your heart. But I saw John Wesley had a visitation. He knew that his heart was strangely warmed by the presence of God. Amen. His heart was warmed, and he knew that he was saved. He had that confirmation, that assurance that he was saved. And I believe he had assurance that God had called him to preach the gospel to whoever would listen. And he went and did that. So I don't know what God is saying to each one of us this morning, but I know that it came from heaven. There was no confusion. And I believe sometimes there's so much confusion when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, you hear this thing and that thing and people falling forward and backward. And we're asking so many questions. I believe that must stop. Amen. I believe we're not supposed to ask questions about, you know, if God is there, I believe we'll know He's there. Amen. And I know there's a lot of other stuff being preached, but I want us to just forget about calculating and trying to figure out the Spirit of God. He's going to come as a mighty rushing wind, and we're going to have to surrender. Amen. If we're not going to surrender, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss the power of God, and God can make us fall forward or backward or not fall at all or sideways. I don't know. But He's going to come as a mighty rushing wind, and I know if we resist Him, if we quench Him, if we say, well, this is not of God, then there's a chance that we can miss Him. Amen. There's a good chance. But we will know. All I know is that they knew this was a visitation from heaven, and guess what? It filled the whole house. I want to say this morning that the Holy Spirit wants to fill the whole house sitting in that chair. Richard, right there. Gerda, right there. Tarsus, Dad, Tiens, Johanet, Johan, right there. He wants to fill that whole house sitting in that chair, right where you are. Amen? He came to where they were. And you know, that's God's heart. God is a heart, God of love. He comes to visit us right where we are. And you know what? He doesn't do a half job. Amen? But some of us have had half experiences with God. We haven't had a full experience. So we sort of half in and half out. And there's so much stuff. And God says, I want to fill your whole house. Amen? Because when He fills your whole house, you know what? You're going to be different. You're going to want to tell the world that this Jesus really lives. This Jesus is alive. Amen? So He wants to come and fill your whole house. There was a clear visitation from heaven. So number one, there was a very specific environment, an atmosphere of prayer, of faith, and of unity. Number two, there was a clear visitation from heaven. If you're taking notes, I'll repeat if I have to. Okay, I know I haven't got it up there. So number two, there was a clear visitation from heaven. Number three, the fire came upon each one of them. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Not only does He want to fill your whole house, but He wants to fill you in a specific place. Amen. Guess where that place is. Why did God pour out tongues of fire? Anyone thought of that? Why did He have it in the form of a tongue? But what did he really come to do? He came to do what He did in Isaiah's life, chapter 6. He came to put a coal of fire on their mouths, to cleanse them first of all, and to give them boldness. Okay? That's why it's tongues of fire. And that's why we speak in tongues. Amen. That's why we speak in different languages. Because why? Our tongue is so powerful. Isn't that so? Our tongue has the power of life and the power of death in it. And guess what? God came to speak, or to cleanse the speaking ability, to cleanse the boldness that's in mouths. And I believe here this morning, some of your mouths need to be cleansed, first of all, of what you're speaking over yourself and over other people. But secondly, wants to open your mouth to be bold. Amen. To speak the things of God. To pray when you need to pray, to say, this is what the Lord's saying, that spirit of prophecy that just comes without us thinking. We just prophesy and we speak life. Amen. Cleansing of our tongues, the tongues of fire. And I believe we need tongues of fire again. Amen. Because I believe some of us have been filled with the Spirit, but guess when last we prayed in the Spirit? When last did we pray in tongues? When last did we exercise our spiritual gifts that God has given us? Because I believe each one can pray in tongues. Not everyone has got the gift of speaking in tongues, but everyone, the Bible says, can pray in a spiritual language. I believe we've got to start to pray in the Spirit again. Amen. Amen. Because guess why we're praying? We're not praying in the Spirit, because we want to figure out what we're praying. We want to make sure, as long as I'm praying perfect prayers now, and you know what? The only perfect prayer to pray is to pray in the tongues, pray in the Spirit. It's so funny. We're sitting in this church at the conference, and every time a guy speaks, you know, these people are wild. They'll like stand up, hallelujah, amen, you know, like stand up. But then there was a guy like literally praying in tongues every time the guy would, you know, instead of saying like amen, hallelujah, he would pray in a spirit just for like, you know, half a second or 2 or 1 second. It was like so amazing, like weird for us, you know. But I thought these guys are praying, that they're interceding, and this church is like, it's a black church there in London, and they're awesome. You know, we need more of those people in our lives to excite us and to say, God is not a God of a box. God is not a God of the Western world. He's a God of all nations. So sometimes we're going to get offended with these people. Or we can say, no, God, you are praying through your intercessors here. These people are passionate for you. They love you. It's a tongues of fire. He wants to wants to warm our mouths again. He wants to, bring our mouths to a place of boldness. We can speak the gospel. We can tell people the good news of Jesus. We can love each other and prophesy of each other. Not be so quiet and, oh, what if I say the wrong thing now? You know, just speak life. It's definitely not the wrong thing. If you're speaking death, it's wrong. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, cleanses your tongue, cleanses your mouth. Amen. And then lastly, verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And guess what they did? The whole environment where they were was changed. Amen. They shook the environment. They changed the environment in which they were. And they were led by the Spirit. It wasn't shooting from the hip. It wasn't like, you know, like just, you know, going wild. It was led by the Spirit of God. How many of us are led by the Spirit of God? How many of us live lives where we are led by the Spirit of God every single day and we just do what Jesus used to do? Just do what the Father says of us to, being led by the Spirit of God. Not running around trying to do all sorts of things, trying to please God, trying to just survive through this life. So awesome. We were coming back from the conference the last evening. And so, you know, the environment in Britain is like, Nigel and Cheryl will know about this. You know, it's like, you know, you sit on the tube and no one says anything. You know, we're all on our phones and we're just in our own little worlds. Okay, so even to speak there is like, you know, you have to really trust God to speak to these people. So we're sitting there and it's you know, Friday night, and these guys walk in with instruments. They've obviously been at a gig now. There were two guys sitting next to me, or one next to me and the other guy and his girlfriend there opposite me. So now we're quite up close and personal on this tube now. And there was two other people that were at the conference with us sitting on the opposite way. And they're musicians, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have to connect with these guys. They're obviously musicians. So I said, hey, you guys been at a gig now and stuff? Yeah, no. And then we started chatting and everything. Right? And I'm thinking, this is awesome. Because if I didn't start this conversation, there would have probably been nothing said. Or they would have spoken to themselves and I would have been like the outside. But I started to chat to them and we spoke. And then, you know, it's amazing that one of the speakers, okay, he goes, there's one speaker at the conference says he had the same experience sitting next to someone. Now, he's also a pastor. And so he tells the people, or this woman was sitting next to him and asking him. Now, he's got this way of speaking to people because he knows if he says he's a pastor, then people just kind of close up. And so he speaks. The woman who was next to him on the plane says, or she asked him now, he asked her, what do you do? And she said, no, she does this and this and that. And he was like, oh, okay. And then she said, and what do you do? And then she's like, he's like, I work for this global organization. You know, we've got outlets all over the world. And she was like, wow. And like, and then he goes, and what do you do? No, we save people and we change people and we care for people. We really just love people and we've got masses of, you know, all over. She says, wow, that is amazing. And what is it called? And he says, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? In the beautiful British accent, I love it that Nigel and Cheryl are here, you know. But I love the accent. Wow, you know, what is it called? The church? Have you heard of it? You know. And she was just like, okay. So I use the same thing. Okay, I use the same thing with these people. Like, I'm like, I work for this massive organization. We've got. And he's like, oh. And then I started to laugh. So I like had to like, you know, just. Then I said, no, you know, I work for the church. You know, have you heard of it? You know. Yes, but I'm not religious. Okay. That's the first answer you get. I'm not religious. I said, you know what? I'm not either religious. Okay? Some of you need to laugh a little bit. Yeah, okay? You're too serious. Okay? But what was amazing for me is to be speaking to these people. And, you know, I told them the whole gospel. Okay? I just told them I've been saved. And I can see the screensaver comes on sometimes. Okay? When you talk about God and the things of God, the screensaver comes on. I could see when I left that train, I could see this one guy, he was considering what life is about. Because I said to him, listen, yeah, you've been created for a purpose. Because I asked him, what have you been created for? Not just to survive, they say. And I found my purpose, the guy says. Yeah, no, that's good. But I said, we've been created for a purpose. So what? Where are we going to go back to? And he says, no. One guy says, no, he doesn't know where we're going after life. The other guy says, no, he thinks we're coming back as something else. So they've got weird ideas about how they're going to end up one day. But I just said to them, listen here, we've been created for a purpose. We've been created by God very specifically. And I could see, you know, the screensaver is on a little bit, but I could see in the one guy's eyes, he had a look of, I must maybe reconsider my beliefs. So maybe I'm not believing the full truth. But all I want to say this morning is that the disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They changed the atmosphere around them. And I had that experience on that train because I could see the atmosphere has been changed. Amen. Because Yah is someone who's willing to just start to talk and start to engage, filled with the Holy Spirit, loving these people, not judging them, but just saying, you know what? There's an amazing God who lives. His name is Jesus Christ. And if we can be like that, if we can be filled with the Spirit, you know what? We'll go to our workplaces, we'll go to our environments, we'll go to other nations, and you know what? We will bring change. Not because we're great, but because there's someone who lives in us. Amen. There's a Christ in us, a hope of glory that we are supposed to bring to the world around us. And that's what I believe we are called to do. We are called to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit was poured out and Jesus said, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit and you shall be witnesses. Not try to do witnessing. You shall be a witness. And I believe we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit that we can be witnesses, not be ashamed of what people say anymore. Amen. Not be afraid of the hope that's in us and to tell people because the world wants to hear, guys. And you know what? I believe this city needs to hear that there's a fullness of God. There's not a form of God and knowing about God and knowing, you know, who God is. It's knowing God by the power and the fullness of His presence in our lives, the Holy Spirit. But you know why we don't tell these people? We think they're fine, and I'm not saying they're not fine. I'm just saying God wants to bring revival by His Spirit. Yeah, in South Africa. God wants to bring a fullness of the Holy Spirit back again, an anointing. Greatest, and I believe to have a fresh anointing, to have a greater anointing, we need to surrender more. We need to say, God, stir our faith for what you want to do. Amen. Stir our faith, God. We've just gotten the same as the world, and we're not hungry for God. And God gave me a vision for our Sunday services, and He said there's one scripture that we must hold on to in our Sunday services. We must create a place for a hunger and a thirst for God in this place. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I believe all we need to do on a Sunday, yeah, is to create a place of hunger and thirst for God. And you know what? People will get saved. We don't even have to pray for them. People are going to be repenting. People are going to be drawn to this place. Amen. Are you excited about that? Where there's an environment where God can move and God can trust us with people. He can send people, yeah. But you know, God doesn't only send people. He sends us to go and fetch people. He says, you will be witnesses. I'm not going to do it. I want to use you. And how do people come to church? Anyone know? Primarily by invitation. Primarily through relationship. God can send people. And you know, up to now, we've mainly relied on God sending us people. And yeah, God will still send people. But guess who really stays in this church? When they come through relationship. Amen. Through witnesses who have gone and said, you know, I know a God. And you know what? I don't even have to pray for you. I just want you to come. Because there's an environment. There's an atmosphere where your life is never going to be the same. And if you may be feeling a little bit doubtful, you just bring them around a couple of people who are excited to pray and who have an environment where God can move. We can use each other. Not all of us are evangelists. Not all of us are prophets or apostles or pastors or teachers. Not all of us have all the gifts. But you know what we do have? Together is an environment where God can save people's lives in this place. God can heal the brokenhearted. God can set the captives free. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Amen. So I trust that we're going to get excited again to bring people to this environment. And even, you know, you don't have to bring people to church as long as you're letting the kingdom come. Okay? As long as you're praying. If you don't want to bring people to church, then please go pray for them out there and get them saved and Spirit-filled and let the kingdom of God come in and through your life. Because that's what excites me, is to see lives being changed, but to see God moving again and pouring out His Spirit afresh. And it's not like He's pouring it out. Because, you know, I don't like to say, God, pour out your Spirit again. Because He's poured out His Spirit once. He's given His Son once. But you know what it is? It's an awakening where we realize, you've poured out your Spirit, God. I can cry out to you. I had that encounter again in the conference the one evening. I just wept before the Lord. This one guy was preaching and he just said, more, more, more. And like, I just went forward and I'm like crying and I'm like so self-aware, like, you know, I didn't really know anyone anyway. So I can just cry. God, thank you. You want to bring revival. More, Lord, more of you. It was just amazing to experience the fullness of God in my life again. God setting me free of just unbelief and you know, just having to be happy with the status quo, going through the motions. When God has called us to ride this roller coaster ride of adventure with the Holy Spirit. So I want the band to come forward again this morning. We're gonna pray this morning. I trust that God is gonna put your heart on fire again this morning, because I believe God wants to start with us. He's not gonna send the masses when there's no atmosphere. I'm not saying no atmosphere, but there's this little atmosphere of faith. There's a little atmosphere of belief. And sometimes we need to get excited again about souls being saved. Amen. We need to get excited about people being spirit-filled, about people encountering God. And yesterday we had an awesome Liberty seminar. People were set free. Ask the guys who were there. Because the Spirit of the Lord was there, and He set so many people free. And we need to get excited about that again. We need to get excited about the kingdom of God coming. And not just going through our motions, doing life, making money, surviving. Guys, I'm saying that is not what we're called to live. We're called to live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to speak to nations and tell them, Lord God reigns. Jesus Christ is coming back to fetch a spotless and an unashamed bride. Let's close our eyes and pray this morning. Father, Lord, I want to thank you that you are awakening us, Lord. Lord, we trust you, Lord. Each one of our hearts are awakened this morning, Lord. Awakened this morning. Let's all stand this morning. Let's all stand. Because if you can pray in the Spirit this morning, I want you to pray in the Spirit right now. I want you to surrender to the Lord right now. Jesus, come, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to awaken us, Lord, because you've already been poured out. You are here, available to every single person, Lord. Some of us are grown weary, God. Some of us are grown tired of even seeking you, Lord. But today, Lord, we pray for your power and your grace, Lord, to lift us up, Lord, out of that place, God. Out of that place of tiredness, out of that place of passivity, God. Out of that place where we just surviving, Lord. But in Jesus' name, I thank you for faith to increase in this house this evening, this morning, God. In Jesus' name. The Bible says we must stir up our faith. So I want you to stir up your faith. If you can pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit right now. Pray loudly. Like Melissa said earlier, tell that story, but tell that story in another language now. Speak to God, deep, crying out into deep. I want to ask you to be very bold this morning. If you haven't had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you know Jesus maybe, or maybe you don't know Jesus, then come. I want you to come forward. If you want a baptism of the Holy Spirit, maybe even afresh this morning, then come. Come, I want to pray for you that you can have a baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know what? It'll be a baptism of fire as well. You'll put the fire of God in your heart and on your tongue. So if that's you this morning, just be very honest with me. Just raise your hand. If you need a Spirit-filled experience, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or even re-baptized, refilled with the Holy Spirit, just put up your hand this morning. Is there anyone like that? Anyone like that? Just be honest this morning. Just be honest. There's some hands going up. Is there anyone else? You want that fire to be rekindled in your heart this morning? Then just put up your hand. Just come. Come. Anyone, if you haven't put up your hand, just come forward that the Lord can fill you this morning. Just ask God for more of Him. Desire more of Him this morning. Come. Some of you guys are still waiting for something to happen. You must seek God's face this morning. Say, Jesus, more of you, God. Want your revival fire in my heart, Lord. No more passivity. No more passivity in my life. In Jesus' name. Let's just worship the Lord together. If you guys have got a song, let's just sing to the Lord this morning. Sing new songs to the Lord. New songs to God this morning. If you can sing in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit this morning. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. Just sing in the Spirit, band. Sing in the Spirit right now. Let's just worship Him. Lord, we lift you up this morning. God, we lift you up, Lord. Let revival come in our hearts first, Lord. Let revival come before, Lord, before we see other people revive. We need to be revived this morning, God. We thank you for your fire, God. We thank you for your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we're just hungry and thirsty for you, Lord, this morning. God, we want to see Bloemfontein revived, Lord. We want to see our campus, Lord. We want to see our reses, Lord. We want to see our workplaces revived, God. We want to see the city revived, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Just surrender to the Lord right now. Surrender.